What would you do if you discovered that your child's middle school had common restroom areas for girls and boys? In other words, gender-neutral bathrooms. Well, this isn't theoretical. This is a reality for Lexington parents who will be sending their kids to a new middle school next year. I'm Richard Nelson, founder and executive director of the Commonwealth Policy Center, and you're listening and watching The Commonwealth Matters. Joining us to talk further about this in an effort to stop this from happening is Warren Rogers, a businessman, concerned citizen, and grandparent. Warren, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Richard. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Two TV stations in Lexington broke the story just the other day that the new Mary E. Britton Middle School will include gender-neutral bathrooms. But you discovered this quite some time ago. So the general public is just learning of this. Many people in Lexington are just learning of this for the first time. You've known about it for a few months. We've been talking for a while. How did you first learn about this?
Yeah. So I'm part of an organization. I've been part of an organization in Lexington for 15 years, a leadership organization. And I'm part of the steering committee. And, you know, there are monthly days devoted to history or media or Equine Day. This year, as part of the steering committee, I decided that I would attend Diversity Day because I'm a pretty curious person and I kind of wanted to know what was going to be discussed there. And after a morning of, you know, what you might imagine there was there in the afternoon session, there's this person who, you know, talked to us about pronouns and flags and various things. And then the subject came up about bathrooms, and what this person said was that, you know, in public spaces, gender-neutral bathrooms really solve the problem for our community. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then kind of to my surprise, one of the class members, a young man, stood up and said, very proudly, I'm with the architectural firm that designed this school, and we have 100% gender-neutral bathrooms designed in that school. And I'm like, what? And I didn't say anything because I'm not a class participant. But I decided, you know what? I'm in the construction business, have been all my life. I know how to read plans. I need to get proof of this. I need to get a set of plans, prove this for myself before I say anything to anybody, because otherwise, it's just word of mouth. And so I went on a search for these plans, and all the normal places called it, you know, had the architect office called, and they didn't, told me just want to pick up a set of plans, be happy to pay for them, you know, when I pick them up. And they just said, no, can't do that. And sent a phone call and an email, a recorded message to the facilities person at school board. Hey, can I just drop by and take a look at these plans for the new middle school? Never got a call back. Went to the normal place where you would get plans on public projects in town, an imaging company, and got a 30-year relationship with them. Called them. Say, hey, can I come by tomorrow and pick up? Can you run me a set of plans? And the young man said, sure. No problem, Mr. Rogers. Hold on just a second. Let me find out when you can come by and pick those up. A couple minutes later, he came back and said, sorry, we can't do that for you. And so at that point, I knew that there was something kind of something being hidden here from the public.
And that was very clear with your experience, Warren. But as far as when a new public school is built, there's a process for this. Mm-hmm. The school board, of course, has to approve it. We're talking about public tax dollars that are involved. There are blueprints that are proposed,
right?
But are you aware of the process of where the public is involved? Did the school board not involve the public?
Richard, apparently they did not. There has been a lot of media about this new school. It's an $82 million middle school with a capacity of 1,200 people. There's lots of media attention. I've researched all the media online, on TV station web pages, on newspaper media, lots of media about this, but there's nothing that has indicated that the school will have gender-neutral bathrooms.
I'm not aware of the process. I'm not on a school board. I've attended school board meetings, but it would seem to me that this is an important decision for the whole community. It's not just a school board that's making it, but the parents of the 1,200 kids who will be there. Yes. Are going to be, they, I'm sure, would want to know what the layout of the school is, what does it offer. but especially when it comes to something as groundbreaking as gender-neutral mm-hmm. bathrooms. Yes. That's a major public policy shift. And I find it fascinating, Warren, that as you tried to learn more about what was in those blueprints, in time after time, you were stonewalled. Yes. You were turned away. Mm-hmm. And that is certainly not in the best interest of transparency for the right. school board, which sure. any governmental body should operate in a transparent way, especially mm-hmm. when there's a public building mm-hmm. that is in the process of being built. So bring us up to speed as far as, tell us, you have some interesting yeah. stories of when you did approach the school board. So tell us more about that.
Well, let me just say that ultimately, my friends are contractors, and I discussed this with some of them. And in one such meeting in August, a gentleman across the table from me said, you know what? Plans on an $82 million project are out there. And they're electronic, and they're on everybody's computers. He says, matter of fact, we contemplated proposing on that project, and we didn't. But let me check. And sure enough, they had the plans on their in their AutoCAD files. And the next morning, I was able to come by and pick up the plan sheets that I needed to confirm what I had heard 5 months earlier, and had been on the search all that time for these plans. So, and at that point, I said, well, I have this special knowledge that apparently nobody else really has, mm-hmm. and I can do one of two things. Mm-hmm. I can just throw my hands up and go, gosh, it's a sign of the times. It's where we're going as a society. I can basically duck and cover. But yeah. I decided prayerfully, I prayed about this, and what I heard was, no. No, you've got to speak out about this. You've got to make this public. You've got to get the message to the parents of the children that will be attending this middle school. They are the people that are the stakeholders in this, and they need to have input on these decisions. So basically, I've been in that mode since September up until now, and. It's amazing that every parent that I encounter has never heard of this happening before. They've not been a part of this.
So, Warren, just to bring clarity to what we're talking about, these are common areas where boys and girls will be using the restrooms together. There will be individual stalls.
Yes.
Six stalls per restroom.
Six stalls per group, they're called. And there are actually nine groups. There are five groups on the first floor, four groups on the second floor. So a total of nine groups. They really each group consists of six toilet rooms. And it's interesting, and I know it's kind of hard to explain without the plans in front of us, but there are actual urinals in two of the six enclosures. So a total of 16 urinals in the building, but those urinals are in the rooms that are used by special needs students who need perhaps a parent to be in there to perhaps change clothes and whatever. So it's kind of like they're not in the main part, of the restroom. The girls' restrooms are, the restrooms are girls' restrooms. They have what is mandated in all of girls' restrooms.
Sanitary
napkin disposal containers and along with the toilet.
So let's talk about that for just a minute, because right. every single stall is going to be fitted with sanitary items and sanitary disposal, and the young boys are going to be using them.
Yes, that is correct.
And just to clarify again, the Mary E. Britton Middle School is a middle school. So we're talking 6th through 8th graders. These are kids ranging from 11 mm-hmm. to 14, so young people. I think one of the other factor in this, the other thing, and we will put a picture of the blueprints there, and hopefully the viewers can take a look at that. But we're talking about single stall restrooms that are totally enclosed from the floor to the ceiling.
Yeah. So as we all know, a normal toilet partition, be it in a boys' bathroom or girls' bathroom, has about 16 inches gap from the floor to the bottom of the partition, and then from about 6.5 feet to the ceiling is open. And why is that? There are a number of reasons. Number one, safety. It's safer. If a student has an issue, a problem inside that stall, they can be retrieved, or at least they can be notified. They're not obviously not soundproof. And, you know, certainly there's a tremendous issue these days with smoking and vaping and injection of drugs and things of that nature. So if a student has a problem, they can be retrieved from a standard toilet partition in a totally enclosed 3x5 room. They're virtually soundproof. They're hidden from view. And what parents tell me is that what concerns them most is not the smoking or vaping or drug use. It's the opportunity that assault may take place between perhaps physically mature male, 14-year-old, and an 85-pound girl, 11-year-old. And in a matter of seconds, they could be pulled into that restroom, door locked, and before anybody knows about it, I mean, who knows what could happen there. So that's very explicit, but that's what I'm hearing from parents, middle school parents that I talk to about this. And, you know, there's concern to me, we talked about this with being a major policy change. It absolutely is a major policy change. And so the question becomes, why didn't the school board and Fayette County Public Schools have a town hall meeting, work through the respective PTAs in the elementary schools that will feed into this middle school? Why didn't they have a letter? Why was there no communication about this? And I think we know why.
I have an idea.
Okay.
A couple of ideas. One, though, is that Senate Bill 150 was passed in the state legislature last year. It pushed against gender ideology indoctrination. I know that's a strong word, but that's what was going on in the schools in some districts. I pushed against that, but it also required that local school boards have bathroom policies and locker room policies that corresponded with the student's biological sex. Mm-hmm. Now, that passed in the spring of last year. This came to light in the summer of last year, as you learned about it. But I think that there, of course, and then as far as the timeline here, Mary E. Britton Middle School started construction in 2021.
Well, design started in the middle of 2021. It was completed in June of 2022. Now, that's before the legislature passed SB 150, right? And which was passed in March of 23 by the legislature and took effect, I believe, July 1 of 2023. And so the school board, after the passage of that, they all knew they had a design and under construction school that possibly could not meet the intent of SB 150. And so it's almost as if they staged, like, you know, to have citizens come in and say, oh, you know, you're so progressive in how you're dealing and handling with the needs of, quote, our community, unquote. And when I saw that online, I was watching the school board meeting online, I think it was in late June. It was like, wait a minute, I'm not aware of any policy that's changed here. And sure enough, it hadn't. So what's happened here is the school board basically, and I would say the administration of Fayette County Public Schools, okayed this design and in 2021. And their intent was just to go ahead and keep it undercover and open the school in August of 2025. And when children and their parents discovered gender-neutral bathrooms, they throw up their hands and go, well, it's built. This is the way it's going to be going forward. And they made that conscious decision, Richard. Instead of if they had informed the public in 2021, I think they feared that parents would organize and rebel and that they may have to change their policy.
We are going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. Hi, my name is Richard Nelson, founder and executive director of the Commonwealth Policy Center. We're here to shore up the sanctity of human life, religious freedom, natural marriage, and sound fiscal policies. At the Commonwealth Matters, we have conversations with leading thinkers and policymakers to help us think biblically about the great issues of the day. If you appreciate our work, then please consider a donation today. This work is entirely supported by people just like you. Your gifts and tax-deductible contributions help to underwrite this program, and you help to get this important message out all across the Commonwealth. We believe that the Commonwealth of Kentucky is a great place to live, and we want to keep it that way for our families and our children. That's why we're standing for what's right, for what's good, and what's true right here in Kentucky. Thanks in advance for your support, and may God bless you. If you're just joining us, you are tuned in to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson here with Warren Rogers, and we are talking about transgender restrooms or gender-neutral restrooms in Lexington schools, which would be the first ever transgender or gender-neutral restrooms in the state of Kentucky. So, Warren, I did a little digging around on this, and I discovered a rally that was held in Lexington in front of the school board last July, and it was a rally for transgender bathrooms. And one of the mothers said this, I'm going to quote, she said this, "I know that the Kentucky State Legislature has limited your ability," speaking to the Fayette County School Board, "limited your ability to keep students safe." That's her definition of safe. She was one of many, Warren, who said that if the board is forced to comply with Senate Bill 150, that they should create single-stall gender-neutral bathrooms. So is this where you first learned about the bathroom policy?
I learned about it in April, a few months earlier. Okay. But I was spending this time trying to confirm what I had heard with a set of plans. And it took to August to confirm that. But I did see this aired online, live, and I was shocked by it because it appeared that, behind closed doors that the board in Fayette County Public Schools had taken definitive action and nobody was made aware of it.
Certainly at that time, this was when their hand was tipped that this was going on. Mm-hmm. The general public was probably learning about this for the first time. At that school board meeting, approximately 20 parents spoke in favor of gender-neutral bathrooms. Just a couple of people spoke against it. Tell us about what you're doing. And before we jump into that, I want to just focus on why we're even talking about this issue. And I find it strange in some regard that we're talking about restrooms in our public schools that are commingled. You have girls, young girls and boys using the same public space. And for a number of reasons, this is a bad idea. This is an area of concern for all parents. But when you talk about young children who are impressionable, they're going through adolescence and puberty, and they're just trying to figure out who they are. And when you put young boys and young girls together in private areas like restrooms or locker rooms, that's problematic. But that's one reason why we're talking about it. But then there's a safety issue, Warren, right, as we had talked about previously, to have a stall that is enclosed from the floor to the ceiling, essentially soundproof, and at least it muffles the sound. Mm-hmm. There's a real safety issue there. So it appears to me, with the way that the school board and the administration's acted, they're trying to keep this undercover, trying to keep the public from looking in at what's going on with their tax dollars and with the public school, mind you, but not really welcoming input from concerned parents, considering all of the safety ramifications, but really ramrodding an agenda through where our young children, middle school children, are guinea pigs.
Yeah, that's true. And I just wanted the parents of these children that would be going to the school to know, to have this knowledge. What they did with that, they're the stakeholders here. I mean, I'm not. I don't have a child in that school. My kids are grown, moved on. I just had this knowledge dropped in my lap, and I just had to do something about it. So I felt like I needed to inform parents about it. Some parents were in disbelief until they could see the actual plans. But once they understood, I've yet to find a parent who's like, "Well, this will be okay. Sure, it's progressive. Sure." No. The parents' reaction is visceral. This cannot stand. Some have said, "I will pull my kids out of school before I'll have them go to a gender-neutral situation." And again, it's about safety. Now, Now, let me make this point, Richard, and this may surprise some people. As I've talked to a lot of people, clergy included, parents, dozens and dozens of people, there is a consensus here that, yes, we need to restore boys and girls' bathrooms separate. There's no question. But we do need to make an allowance, certainly for a handicapped restroom, maybe a family restroom. And then special needs children do need a place where, in some cases, they have an parent, an adult assistant with them in the bathroom, perhaps to help them change clothes, to get them through that process. So there should certainly be a couple of bathrooms devoted to that. And then perhaps, maybe in the case of Mary Britton, I would say three toilets that are, in fact, gender neutral, just to accommodate those children who, for whatever reason, are temporarily confused or whatever, feel like that they need that gender neutral environment. But let's not make 100% of those bathrooms gender neutral. That, to me, that's causing discomfort for 98% of the students.
Warren, you have talked with, as you mentioned, pastors, concerned parents, mm-hmm. and other stakeholders in mm-hmm. this, and you're hearing from them that something should be done. They're not in favor of this, mm-hmm. but can anything be done since the school has been under construction?
You know, in November, school board reported that the school was 41% complete. We're here in March. I think we're probably at the 55% completion level. Being a contractor, I'll tell you that the underslab plumbing is in place and inside the wall and roughed in, as we call it. Mm-hmm. And the concrete slabs are poured and the first floor walls between are concrete. The second floor walls, I believe, are concrete block. And I think all that's in place right now. But I do think modifications can be made. I think if the school board would say, okay, we've heard you, parents of our school kids, what we'll do is we'll stop further construction for the moment on these bathrooms. I think what should be done, and I've said this and I've consulted an architect, that what we ought to do, there's basically eight groups of bathrooms. Each group has six toilets. What we need to do is to take four of those groups and make those boys' bathrooms. Now, that would require removing the walls that are constructed in between the toilets, mm-hmm. perhaps, but I'm not certain, have to saw up the concrete slab and mm-hmm. part of the wall mm-hmm. and change the plumbing and install urinal screens and make these boys' bathrooms. And then I also think that the wash basin area for all these bathrooms is basically open, where you would expect to have mirrors over top of the wash basins. The walls just come up above the basins, and then it's open to the hallway. And I've never in my life encountered a restroom that didn't have a mirror, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an essential part of the restroom. Mm-hmm. So I think those spaces should be filled in with masonry and mirrors put where mirrors usually go, above the wash basins. And I think that would be a better environment than having boys and girls exit these toilet enclosures into very public space and commingle. And for whatever reason, I mean, restrooms for boys and girls are kind of a place where, you know, they can go and just for a moment, a place of refuge, you know, and yes, they have the function to do, you know, in restrooms, but just to breathe and maybe speak with, you know, their friend and collect themselves before they reenter the school environment. That's all gone. It's just chaos when you exit the toilet room. And I think that's very unfortunate. And if the school board and the school system had consulted parents on the front end, that's the feedback that they would give them.
Warren, what could a concerned parent or concerned citizen of Fayette County do? Are there future school board meetings that they could attend? What are you recommending to the concerned citizen in Fayette County?
Yeah, Richard, I think what we're recommending is that, number one, that concerned parents speak with other parents who have not yet heard about this. I will tell you, less than 10% of the affected parents, even today, know about this. And so they need to spread this among their networks. We have had a series of meetings and invited parents to, and those meetings have grown exponentially. So got to get the word out. But secondly, they need to contact their school board members via email. I mean, they need to contact them in a very respectful manner, but tell them their concerns about this. It's not likely today that the school board member will reply, because it is apparent that since this has become public, that the school board and the senior Fayette County school people have gone into the Situation Room and figured out, we've got a problem here. How are we going to handle this? We hadn't figured on this being public until August of 2005, and here we are in March of 2024. And we've got a growing rebellion among parents. So don't expect the school board member to respond. They have indicated that only their PR director, Dia Davidson-Smith, should be the one that will respond on this issue. And that includes school board members and I think the administration. But I think it's still important for parents to register their concern with their school board members and with all school board members. Email addresses can be found on the Fayette County Public School website. Just go to Board of Education and click on that, and you can find your way to find out how to contact via email the school board members. I would encourage that, certainly. Mm-hmm. And while you're doing that, understand that this is just not this school. This is the policy going forward. And they've just approved in recent months a $400 million capital program, which will include the construction of the new Henry Clay High School of $141 million. That's in design right now. I think we need to see the plans on that. And can they engage the public now before the project starts construction? So I think that's important. But the school board needs to change the policy now going forward. And I think they can do it in a way that, yes, does meet the needs of all students, boys, girls, special needs, handicap, and perhaps 2 to 3 gender-neutral bathrooms for those that feel like they need that.
Very good. Warren, I want to thank you for joining us on the program and for engaging this very important issue for your community. And also, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Commonwealth Matters program. If you would, please go to your favorite podcast platform and rate us, and then tell your friends about us. That's a great way to introduce us to other potential listeners. Thank you again for tuning in, and may God bless you.